Hello everyone, welcome to the 50th, is it 50th episode of the Friendly Geordies podcast.
Oh, what a celebration. Yeah. We have nothing good for that in store. We didn't think about that.
Yeah, we should.
Sorry.
Anyway, I'm Tom, we've got Jordan here, yep. And we've got Robbie here.
Hello.
And we've also got a special guest, Ben. Hey, Ben.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
When we might have another special guest, but she's hours late. It's a Snapchat girl from Pedestrian who's meant to be Snapchatting us all day, but she's not here. So that might happen.
Her two responses to us was, I'll be in there in 20 minutes. Yay! And then there was a 4-hour gap, and then she just wrote, yay! Again.
So we're talking lots of stuff today, but mainly we're talking Donald Trump.
Trump edition today.
Yeah, the Trump edition. So Ben goes out with a friend of ours who works on the channel, and she came to us once and was just like, yeah, so my boyfriend, like, he's actually like a massive Trump supporter. And
which we said, oh, we gotta get him on the pod.
Yeah. Well, initially we just said, no, you're bullshitting, there's no way. And then
I showed my swastika tattoo, and all this came around, then
we thought, realized he was legitimate. So he is a legitimate Trump supporter, which a lot of people might find surprising, but we're going to try and have an actual talk about Trump without just degrading him and trying to actually like chat about it.
Yeah, we're gonna look at the policies, not the man. However, because it's Trump, we will inevitably be looking at the man a lot.
Pretty much linked, I think, at this point. Like, he has five positions, and like pretty much why people like him, they're speculating on his character and what he would actually do. Like,
but before first, we get into it,
we've got a couple of favorites that we're doing today. One of them is called Dare We Smile, and yes, this one is basically, I mean, it's a recurring segment, but if you're new to the show, it's where we choose songs and things that aren't nostalgic. So for instance, the Bee Gees, Mozart, that's a little bit too old, and too new would be something that's on the radio right now, but
yes,
there's a little sweet zone there, maybe in the late noughties, where there were big songs that have now become forgotten, and when you hear them again, hey, guess what? You might have a little smile come on your face.
Sounds like play school, this intro.
Especially because there was a very distinct, forthright message from a loyal listener that said, hey guys, you know what I really want to hear again? You guys explaining Dare We Smile in thorough detail. Clearly sarcastic about it. So that one's just for you, mate.
All right, so we're going to go around the circle. We'll start with...
And the scoring system is 2.5 points for plums and 10 points for mangoes. What we're going to do now is we're going to start with the songs, should we? Songs?
Okay. Part of the tradition is always saying that the songs go first when, comically, they go second.
I don't have another one, but yeah. Okay, let's go.
Okay, so we'll start with Tom then, as he's just admitted that he doesn't have one.
Okay.
So let's just, we'll go as vultures, pick off the weak ones.
So song?
Song first.
No, for Christ's sakes. We're going with the other one, the one that isn't song. Oh, the non-musical one goes first.
It's a very funny misunderstanding, isn't it?
Okay. Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, for God's sakes. I just came up with
it. I didn't think about it at all.
Yeah, and it's very obvious, Tom.
Okay, I'm going to have to give that... Look, I mean, you've got to give something. One plum.
Thank you.
Ben, do you give that anything? Did that put a smile on your face, being reminded of Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Come on.
No, I don't even know the original source.
Do you not know Cuba Gooding Jr.?
No. Well, like, this helps if we have the song first, doesn't it?
Sorry, he's not a singer.
So we do a song and we do a person or thing that is also in that kind of...
Oh, so it's not even a song, that
no.
Cuba.
What no,
is
it? He's an actor.
He's an actor.
He's Show Me the Money. You know,
wow, that just
Jeremy
shows
Clark.
My lack of knowledge of this subject. I'm sorry, guys.
That's all right. Sorry. Fine. No, it's not your fault.
It's Tom.
It's understandable that, yeah, we didn't lay that up for you well enough. But so now do we do your song or should we do another?
Now we do
Jordan's thing.
How have you forgotten this song? Hey. I mean, this show that much?
That's okay. Let's just keep it rolling. All right. So Jordan's thing.
You're really impervious to criticism today, aren't you, Robbie? You just can't handle it, can you?
let's keep barreling through. Episode 50. Let's do it.
All right. So here's my idea. Hercules, the series. Not the animated series. The live action one.
Yeah, I reckon that's nostalgic.
So you just think it's a great show. No smile from you. You legitimately would watch that now.
No, I wouldn't legitimately watch it. I'll give you a plum. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I really felt I deserved more than that, but okay.
That's really quite scathing, given your hesitation. Anyway.
God, it puts everyone in a bad mood, doesn't it? Except for the guest. The guest usually likes it, but Ben clearly doesn't.
No, I'm just no, this lost and confused here.
This game is not robbing you the right way, is it, Ben?
All right, Ben, what's yours? You have to say a person or a thing. Or a movie, yeah. Or anything.
And if you don't have one, the best suggestion I have for you is blurt something out and pray to God
that, oh, that I get a mango it. For it. Yeah. Nostalgic and...
Okay, so we're going to give you some more time to think about that, Robbie. <Yeah. laughs>
Let's not kill this whole thing. I'll say Goulburn Valley apricots.
No.
That's not that made me smile.
Because it's the way he said it. Because he said apricot instead of apricot.
Hey.
In fact, I didn't even pick up on that. Robbie, I was going to give you a plum, but you just earned a mango.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what? That's not how you play.
I got mine now. Who remembers this show?
He doesn't want to score it. He just wants to say his view.
Well, I don't even know the significance. What is this metric you use? It,
just like, say your line, who cares?
Who remembers Monty? Chi-Chi's.
What's a Monchichi?
Oh, it was like this TV show. The theme song was fantastic. It went like, high up in the trees lived the Monchichi's. Chi-chi-chi-chi. Monchichi's. Monchichi's. But the interesting thing is... The interesting thing about it is they were in this, like, eternal war with, like, the gremlins who looked exactly like the Monchichi's, except they were, like, of a grayer color. And... the Monchichis lived in this beautiful...
So it was a racial divide.
Yes, it was. This... But, yeah, it was quite horrible and revealing. Oh, is that the...
Yeah, it's fine. I think we're good, thank you.
Yeah, sorry, Matt. Yeah, we're all good. Sorry, I should have said that.
Sorry, a technician just came in and asked if the microphones are fine. They're not, but we're recording now, so there's nothing really we can
thank
do about
FBI
it.
Thank you, FBI, for the studio.
Yes.
And thanks, as always, for making it as difficult as possible to get anything on the air. Thank you.
I will have to say, I'm going to give that, even though I didn't know, I reckon he's on the money there with what he's chosen.
Yeah, I'll mango it.
So I'll give you a mango for that, my boy.
Three mangoes, that's 30 points.
Oh. But think about that for you two, how bad yours were that I didn't even know of his, and he got a better point score than both of you.
Wow.
How dare you, Tom? You got nothing. You got no score at all.
All right, let's move on to the song, so that's where I'll make my comeback. Robbie, you go first.
I don't know if you will, but anyway, here it is. It's...
This is yours.
This is Tom's.
Okay.
Okay.
You're screaming. Scissor Sisters, that was in the period of time that we're talking about.
Look, I will give you credit in that it was a good pick, like in just in the general sense, but I feel like it's just too ubiquitous.
It's just once again highlighting the problem with this game where it's not about picking the right thing, it's just about whether Jordan, Robbie, what they might think about it, who knows. It's just like saying, I'll say a word, and if they think it's a funny word, like apricot, then it's funny, but
it's
anything
a pretty
else.
Funny word.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ben.
But it's not about that, is it? It's not about the word being funny.
Okay, no, how about you shut up for a second, and Jordan, you score it.
Job, your rad is perfectly exemplified by my opinion of this. I don't think it's ubiquitous enough. Yeah, so I'm giving it two plums.
Thank you, Jordan.
So we can add
like,
more
I hate
plums
the man, but I love the player. You can put as many plums as you want, as many mangoes. Look, the rules are extremely loose for this game.
All right, Jordan's turn.
Okay, yep, go for it.
This rating system is just awful, isn't it? We don't really stick to it, but this
don't
is,
bring the mood down.
Okay, this is Jordan's pick.
Yeah, that's good. That was something Lee from Australian Idol. What was his name?
Lee Harding, with Wasabi.
Nice. Yeah, I'll give you a mango for it. Because he followed the rules.
Interesting side note. My girlfriend's Asian, right? You would assume, doesn't matter where she is from in Asia, you would assume that she would know what Wasabi is. However, she grew up in the Shire, and that overrides thousands of years of genetic programming. She didn't know what Wasabi was until that song came on video hits. That's how she learned what it is.
Is Wasabi just ever, isn't it just in Japan?
Yeah, but like, you know, don't you think that you should? I mean, if I know what wasabi is, she should know what wasabi is. She's geographically closer to Japan than I am. Surely.
Oh, just. I guess she is just, yeah.
Just.
I reckon that's, yeah, that's probably a fair enough sort of weird thing to have occurred.
Yeah, it's weird, but I just mean like, you know, it's just like anyone else. But yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay. I feel. Well, isn't this just a mishmash array of opinions?
I know.
Robbie, what's yours?
Why do you also hate this so order? Much? Why do you hate this so much?
Yeah, it really is, Tom. He's orchestrated this. You architect. You architect of destruction.
It's just really annoying when I know that the Dare We Smile formula and you follow it and then you just get nothing. You know, it's just, yeah, it's awful.
All right, this is Ben's pick. This is Ben's pick.
He's got it. He's good. Got it. Okay, I've smiled mango. Another mango for Ben.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll give him a mango. It's pretty good.
I will as well.
60 points to Ben. Can't even remember what anyone else got. All we did was snipe each other to the point that we just completely denigrated anyone's picks.
And what's yours, Robbie?
And mine is... Oh, this is nice.
Yeah,
that's good, nice. Yeah.
It's nice, but it's not mango nice. Three plums.
Yeah, oh, half a plum. Just for
3.5
just for your attitude.
Robbie.
All right, I'm going to do some nice mango redistribution and I'll give you a mango.
yes, thank you.
Proving that karma exists, sort of. Neither Tom or I got a mango.
Okay, now we're going to go on to a segment called What's Back, which is basically just before we started, we were talking about how some things... Same, it's basically Dare We Smile again. Where I was trying to say, what were we talking about? We're talking about Donald Trump and Arnold Schwarzenegger. If you listen to all the pods, there was a pod at some point where we talked about who is better, Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone? No, The Rock. Arnold Schwarzenegger or The Rock. Mm. And Jordan is passionate in his love of Schwarzenegger.
And Tom is a huge proponent of The Rock. Nonetheless, he forgot that he was arguing about The Rock while explaining this.
But, yeah.
You know.
The point
he
is...
He loves The Rock. That's the point.
No, the point is that Schwarzenegger, I feel, isn't funny anymore because he's been so... Like, he's so popularized. Like, so many jokes have been done. Like, get to the chopper. Like, just too much stuff.
Still a classic.
Yeah, like, you can't laugh at that stuff anymore because it's just been so overdone. But The Rock hasn't been done at all properly yet. Like, he has been a little bit, but not enough to be, like, Schwarzenegger level.
I think, like, especially on his Instagram, it seems as if he's not, yeah, like, he's not as aware of how much of a joke he is. Whereas Schwarzenegger, for instance, I think on Snapchat, he released a video where he was going, like, get to the chopper or something like that.
When you start doing ads for realestate.com in Australia, you're going to have to accept it. You're a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then that carries on to other things. So, what are things that you think are just too lame? So, we're saying, like, in Step Brothers, if you know the film Step Brothers, a lot of people quote that still where they'll say
this wedding is horse shit,
like that's just, it's just lame, like you can't use that as a thing. Or in Zoolander being like, it's, what is this, a center for ants? Like it's too lame.
To be honest though, I will actually combat you on that latter one. I reckon center for ants, I reckon it's back.
I really don't think it is. I think it's been used too much, but again, this is why it's pretty much the same segment as Dare We Smile, except with this twist that I just thought of. Mangoes are worth 2.5 points. Plums are worth 10. Go.
Oh, damn.
Okay, so my one was the Dr. Evil, pinky to the mouth is something which is, it's now back. That's funny again, because that used to be really lame, but now if you do a little Dr. Evil face.
However, interesting backstory to this. Tom was originally explaining that he thinks that that's no longer funny. It's too lame to say. Then I started giggling at it and he goes, I suppose you're right. I'm going to use that as my example in this segment. It was me and you, because we
are gonna be. Hey guys, we're back. Carolyn is here from Pedestrian, Snapchatting us. So that's why we had to stop for a second.
She doesn't have a microphone, but just shout, say hello.
Hey, what's up?
We're good. Thanks so much for being here.
Great input, Carolyn. Seeing as you don't have a microphone, just don't do that again. All right. So let's continue with this extremely poorly explained segment. Really glad that Carolyn came here because Ben didn't understand what we're doing. And now he's up to speed.
Yeah,
we're not going to explain it to you, the audience. Just try and catch up.
All right. What's yours, Robbie? We were never going to make this into a game, were we? Was it just a discussion?
No, it's not. You're correct. In that way, actually, I guess the rating system sort of goes out the window, doesn't it? If it's just a discussion.
I guess so, but I thought that it would be a nice addition. First meeting is both of you guys. Don't think that. Neither do I.
We can do it. All right. I don't know. We don't know what this is. But I'll just say for my one, I guess, that... Slap of the best, man. Slap it. I reckon it's gone, that one. Okay. I reckon that is gone through the... I mean, that one's an avant-garde one, I'd say, because that really is sitting on the fringe of potentially still utterly lame, but I reckon it's just peeping out.
I don't think that at all.
You don't think
so?
No,
I think it's still very lame. No, it's still very lame. Very I reckon lame. Air guitaring is cool, but I don't think the slap.
See,
in
that
the
was
bass.
A reference to the last podcast. If anyone listening to that,
Jordan. Yeah, so no plums or mangoes for you, Robbie.
Right. Okay. Zero. I'll also hold the Centre France one. I'll do the Centre France one as well. So that's maybe a plum.
Yeah, I have a plum.
Okay.
All right, Jordan.
Jordan.
Okay, guys. To set you the scene, Billy Madison, biggest movie of all time. Probably beats Gone with the Wind, I'd say. It's up there as a classic. It's aired on Channel 10 even more than Kevin Costner's Waterworld. That's got to say something. It's definitely their most aired movie of all time. You would think that because it's such a tapped resource that nothing from it works anymore. I'm here to tell you, it does.
What? Okay? It's your line.
Very big send-up. Get ready for this. You know when he puts the flaming dog shit on that guy's porch and then he stomps on it and then he calls it poop and then Billy Madison says, "Oh my God, he called the shit poop."
No. It's not even... Is that a well-known quote?
I haven't seen the film.
Ben, what do you reckon? Is it well known?
No, like, you'd have to, like, read the script to, like, extrapolate that. Like.
Or just watch it heaps on Channel 10. I mean, we all have. How is this not a known thing?
It's like...
No, that's can I get a you do over your friends at school afterwards. It's like, you called the shit poop. It's...
Yeah, you couldn't bring that up in conversation. Yeah. And someone would be like, "Oh, Billy Madison." Like, you wouldn't... Yeah. Do you reckon that's a thing? If you did that to us just then, should we know that reference?
Clearly not. I think we've just got a really bizarre sample here. It's kind of just like we've asked everyone from Hawaii, "What do you think about Alaska?" It's just the wrong temperament. You guys just, you're not right for this. Clearly not Billy Madison fans. More of a Happy Gilmore audience, are we? Eh?
Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was Mr. Deeds. Mr. Deeds.
Yeah, I'm a Mr.
Actually,
Deeds.
I liked Mr. Deeds a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got a lot
and
of
who could forget his absolute best movie of all time, Spanglish. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Ben, do you have one?
Absolutely not. I don't really.
Okay.
Sorry, we gave you very little warning about this.
We did. Caroline? Yes. Do you have any funny things to say?
Do you think that there's something that like used to be a big joke that everyone would repeat at school and it got really tiring now because it's so old and overdone and been forgotten for a while? It's good.
Oh my God, well, anything Adam Sandler related.
Yeah, in fact, even just the movie title, "You Don't Mess with the Zohan."
Yeah, that's good.
Primo.
I'm an apologist for that film. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I didn't mind that. Everyone hated that movie. Yeah, but that's also my feelings towards Trump, is that I feel as though he's now been over joked about.
We'll get to that, Tom, but what's your line?
Yeah, no, it would be a segue if it was the right segment to go to, which it isn't.
I'll try and segue. Look, another opinion-based one here. We are talking about Aziz Ansari last week. We were sort of Jordan panned him as being, what did you say, hack, idiot? What did you say?
No, I said he's lamer than air guitar.
Lamer than air guitar.
If you agreed that Aziz was bad, you had to put up a picture of Fitzy and Whipper. Not a lot of pictures of Fitzy and Whipper. Many, many pictures of people aghast at the stunner deal at Hungry Jack's. So many people therefore agree that Aziz is a great comedic piece. So, here's our question to you this week. If you had to kill one of them, if you had to kill Aziz Ansari or Seal. Robbie, have you got a piece of his work to show the audience? No, he doesn't. He's got to quickly Google it.
Yeah, I do. Look at this.
Well, I would definitely kill Aziz. Actually, maybe not. He's maybe got more to offer now. Seal's past his time of, you know, offering anything.
You're going to kill that man?
Yeah, I guess, actually. I just changed my mind.
No, that seems like an... That is not even a crime, a man crime. It's also like a crime against art to do that, I reckon.
To kill Seal.
I mean, like, the man is extremely ugly, but clearly has a great soul.
But
you can't kill someone like that.
He's already produced his art, though.
Yeah.
So, like, now he's irrelevant as a person. Like, he's not going to produce any more songs.
Well, Aziz is writing shows. He's making
stuff.
It's
a very mechanical way of looking at this. I'm saying that, like, just the fact that he got to that level. Aziz has never contributed anything of remote artistic goodness to the planet.
I know this segment was meant to be a thing where we, like, clarify that Aziz sucks and that Seal's even better than Aziz.
Really designing it.
But it hasn't happened like that, has it?
Robbie, please don't get on the bandwagon. You're a fan of music. You love music. You can't do this to me.
I've got to put away Aziz. I've got to do away with it.
Thank you. For God's sakes, he's got to go.
He does. I mean, Seal, he's a strong man. He's been through a lot. Aziz, you know, what is he? He's got a funny nephew, does he?
Yeah.
Can I
say something about Aziz?
If you shout it, shout it.
Okay. His comedy,
or just come over here.
Otherwise it wouldn't be funny.
Oh, okay.
But, like...
No, that's all right.
His comedy is basically sort of mentioning...
Yeah, when you come over to the microphone, you have to talk into the microphone. But just now that we're all clarified, go ahead, Caroline.
Carolyn.
No, but Aziz basically takes, like, the same joke, reformatted a lot of different times, and then says things like, no!
Yeah, it would be like, I'm tweaking,
at the end of each joke... Mm. And then just restructures it and mentions Kanye West and Jay-Z a couple times in each of his jokes, and that's, like, the basis of his comedy.
So you'd
and
kill
you
him?
Want to, yeah, okay. Carolyn,
who are you going
to
kill?
Who you going to kill out of Seal or Aziz?
Well, Seal sounds really cute and fluffy, like, you know, Seal's...
Have you not heard of Seal?
I was born in the 90s.
You don't have a mic. Yeah. What are you talking about?
He's anything but fluffy with his skin condition.
He's a very disfigured man.
Do you actually not know who Seal is?
He's like Elephant Man in effect. Oh, okay, that's a bit fun.
Surely you've heard this song, if I can just sing an extract. Baby, I could pay you to a kiss from a rose.
Oh, yeah, that song.
Yeah, and you want him to live or die?
Yeah, so Aziz dies.
Aziz dies.
That is Pedestrian's official stance on the issue. They want to kill Aziz. Monsters.
Jesus Christ, that is dark.
All right, now we've got through all the sloppy stuff and we're going to get to the good stuff, which is Trump talk.
Oh, just before we go on to the Trump talk, in defense of Aziz, I actually thought his, in Funny People, his character in that, like Randy, I thought that was actually legitimately funny.
Yeah, he's like got one character that he does all right.
And I'm pretty sure he didn't
stop
create it
by himself. Stop selling out Madison Square Garden for stand-up because you're good at playing a nerd.
All right, I'm here to be the contrarian, all right, Jordan, for fuck's sake.
Okay, and if the audience listening...
Well, you've done that, mate, haven't you?
If you'd like to save Seal, please put the photo of Rocco's modern life turtle. And if you'd like to save
his turtle friend...
His turtle friend.
Yep.
And if you'd like to save Aziz, put a photo of Mitre 10. That's in. It's either in Blacktown or the closest suburb.
We haven't done any research, and as usual, we're going to get you to do it. You have to find where the closest Mitre 10 is to Blacktown and post a picture of that. We're not going to do that.
All right.
Thanks.
So, Donald Trump making waves.
Hmm.
So, I think it's a really common thing that you'll hear is... So, this is a good example. When we were having dinner the other night, Ben, Robbie, and I, and Ben's girlfriend, and a lot of, like, a very hipster crowd, you could say. Would you agree, Ben? Quite a hipster group.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's very common. I bet you hear this all the time.
It's a huge understatement. I'd imagine that your group of friends has orgies.
A couple of our friends do have... Orgies, yes.
It's a very hipster thing to do. I've realised this over
time.
How is that?
Polyamory has become quite popular. Vegan orgies, that's right as well.
It's no animal God. Blood.
I don't know. It's
all Christian female lesbian vegan orgies.
What the
it's hell? All, it's like ketamine as well. They just all love it. Oh, like I stay out of it. I've been in a stable relationship for like 5 years, and it's just like I've been. I'm in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why I'm so reactionary, Jordan. I used to be liberal. I used to be liberal until they changed what liberal was. Now liberal is just strange and confusing to me. All right. Like,
so yeah, the point was.
I want the family.
If I were you, I would be. I would be an adamant Trump supporter just to rebel against this.
Yeah,
charlatans.
I guess it's like the youthful rebel in me to like rebel against the norm, but like in my existence, that this. Vegan orgies is the norm, so like I rebel in my own special way. All right,
but the way I thought you were acting, Ben, was that it's just it must be so frustrating to come across people, which I'm sure like some of us are guilty of just just hearing the word Donald Trump and just immediately concluding that he must be just an awful man with an awful idea and like you shouldn't follow him, right? And that would be your entire world, I would think, because no one around you at all would agree with you.
Oh, yeah. It makes me incredibly unpopular.
Is it really a loss?
Not really. As you guys know, my girlfriend is the social one of us two, and I just kind of trail along to events.
No, Ben, you've got your own charming hermit-like quality.
So Ben,
a lot of people think I'm joking. I mean, you guys thought I was joking for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think even if I do explain my position as to why I like Trump, because I technically can't support him because I'm not a American. I think they'll just disagree with me on a fundamental moralist level.
Well, you do it here. It's we're all ears. Very primed ears that do not agree with this at all.
I suppose to start off, though, we should probably understand a little bit of your background in terms of your political views and how you've come to have such a despicable one now.
Oh dear, it's like a pathology, isn't it? Don't like Bernie Sanders, must have something wrong with him. I guess I was ever since I was young, I was critical of capitalism, obviously. Then kind of progressed.
Hint. Trump.
Therefore, Trump. I wouldn't say I was socialist for a while, but I did agree with the Nordic model for a little bit. Then after, I think when I was about 18 or 19, I switched to more libertarian. Then I went from just cultural libertarian in kind of like almost third way economic position. I fucking hate libertarians. They're just ridiculous now. They have this like...
Use your explanation for them. It perfectly sums up what a libertarian is.
Yeah, well, I haven't coined this, but they're mainly just autistic. They do not take into account like human behavior at all. They have this like perfect little logical system. It's like, oh, but it's logical. You want to be logical, don't you? Then follow libertarianism. It's just
David, as much freedom as you can possibly have. Yeah. Just everyone's going to get along fine in that situation. You don't need cops.
Oh, roads will just spontaneously form because open market. I'll just like give you my position on economics as well, right? I'm not. Total socialist. I like social policies. I think the open market is efficient, is good insofar that it's efficient. I don't necessarily believe that this efficiency is good, however. Like, it's not really conducive to the good. Like, I believe there's a moral imperative that supersedes the open market dealing with healthcare, for example. But we'll get to America and healthcare a little bit later because it's... it's very expensive for America to have a healthcare policy at the moment, I believe. But we're getting a bit derailed. So did you want me to get to why I like Trump specifically?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like, we're done analyzing me.
No, that's
in my political genealogy.
But yeah, so how did you now then come to, what did you see of Trump in the news, or when did you first see him and you're like, oh my goodness, this is my savior?
Because surely you would have seen him initially as being a bit of a joke. Like, there's no way you went into it thinking, I'm going to listen to this guy. Like, you must have thought he was funny first.
Oh, well, most certainly I was attracted to him because he was just such a shitlord. Like, he was saying the most ridiculous things. I'm like, oh, who is this guy? And I love watching the primaries because they seem so staged. And he was just such beautiful chaos in it. And then I, like, actually looked into his policies, like, specifically, and it isn't just shock.
Spoke to you.
Yeah, it resonated with me. I just like the way he's strong. No, but I looked into his policies, especially on immigration. Ooh, okay, tread lightly here. And
No, please don't. Please go all out.
I purely dislike illegal immigration for economic reasons.
Really?
Yeah.
Because here's the stats that I heard. If you were to deport all the Mexicans back to Mexico, that would be a cost of $1.4 trillion in GDP to the American economy, as well
it's
as...
It's unfeasible. And also the need for due process, like, the courts will be backed up for hundreds of years. Like, there's an estimated 11 million to... They don't even know the correct number. It's like 11 million, and some crazy people say to 30 million, but I think 11 million people is a good
And see, this is why I can't understand why you would support Trump, because his answer to that is, look, you just got to manage these things.
Well, like,
that's his answer to definitely, hundreds of years of backed court cases in the Supreme and federal courts.
Well,
you just got to manage it better.
Well, I think
not enough of a policy.
Prevention
really
is the best cure in that regard. He'd have to get a law through that would make the actual deportation feasible.
Instantaneous.
Well, not so instantaneous. I think
mildly.
Well, honestly, I think there should be some form of due process, that maybe like an accelerated form. But that's coming later. I think securing the border is the imperative thing at the moment.
But why do you think that would help America's economy? Because really, they benefit from essentially what is slave labor.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's a huge problem in America is income inequality. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
It's one of the biggest problems, actually. Wealth inequality as well. It's effectively created this new form of underclass, which has... it's not good for this new underclass, and it's definitely not good for the middle and lower classes already.
Yeah, true.
The African American
really, like, you
community.
Can't even say it in English. It'd have to be like la underclass chutismo. It'd have to be in Spanish, right? It's
yes,
all just Mexicans.
It's absolutely a horrible. I think it's just horrible, and the native population isn't benefiting from this. The only people that
surely
are,
they are they. It's pretty cheap to buy a tomato in America.
No, well, like, I guess in the sense of that, but when your income can't match the cost of living, then I think it's a little bit of a problem. Don't you agree?
For them?
Hmm? Well, like,
for the vast majority of Americans, yes, you would imagine that most Republicans would want there to be a huge underclass.
Not necessarily. For Republicans,
I don't know why they wouldn't object to that, because really that seems to be
well,
their
like,
operation.
Definitely
in
a branch of the Republican Party would like that. Probably a very influential branch, but in terms of pure demographics, as in voters, a larger majority of them wouldn't vote that. Most people vote Democrat out of conservative means. And it was actually interesting on the national radio show, they're actually seriously saying that the Republican Party might break away because it's a traditional, like, just break up because it's a traditional establishment has alienated this this conservative, like, I guess, like,
Tea real, Party.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. I know they're caricatured in that way, but that is their...
But it's really unfair.
Jordan, Now, you invite me onto this show, sir, for my opinion. Let me give you my opinion, sir.
Show respect, Robbie. For God's sakes, don't be a dick to him, all right?
At least look at him.
Alicia actually was trying to... We went to Robbie's gig on Mardi Gras. It was excellent, by the way. And I was trying to broker an alliance with Robbie.
Robbie, do you want to put your two cents in?
The man that's wearing a neck brace, despite the fact he has nothing wrong with his neck, that's the one that you wanted to broker an alliance with. This mop of a joke of a man.
Yeah, that's very damning on you, Ben, to think that Robbie could in some way be an ally. In this.
You both.
He thinks he's on vacation. That's why he's wearing a damn watch.
You both. I can turn your mics off quite easily. Okay.
Need all right. Well, here's your opportunity. Yet. What's your two cents on this?
My two cents.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure. I'll be with him on the Trump side. He, you know, came to my gig. He's a lovely guy. You know, he might have some slightly questionable opinions, but who cares? You know, when we're getting such vitriol from these other Bernie people over here.
I haven't said anything.
Silence is deafening, Tom. And I do actually have something wrong with my neck. You saw it. I fell off a basketball last week. And
I'll get over it.
Oh, okay.
It's not that
bad. All right. Well, anyway.
He's got crutches here as well.
Yeah.
And a foot brace as well. Nothing happened to your foot.
I don't need the foot brace, you're right.
Just in case.
I don't know what's going to happen this
week. Well, you just think you're so accident prone, you may as well bring everything that you have that might help your bones.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Ben, all right. Please continue.
We'll get back to it.
So you're saying that the Republican Party might split into two?
Oh, no, just completely dissolve because... people like them based on, like, their voting base just hasn't been voting for them. That's why the last election just went so terribly for them. Like,
no, the voting base actually does vote for the Republicans.
They still vote, but they don't. I heard this good metaphor about the Republican Party. It's just pretty much they have no agenda of their own anymore. They just, like, what a conservative does is just... they're like 20 years behind, like the Liberals. They just they put down a cone and say, "This is the absolutely how this is how's conservative you could be. If you're past this point, then you're just unreasonable. You're a horrible racist person." So like they're just seeing that their like ideal of life, this American ideal of small town, we all know each other, and I think it's legitimate for them to maintain their culture. This has just been slowly eroded away by bigger and bigger government. I know you like your big government.
Do you honestly believe that the Republicans serve big government?
Republicans serve the Democrats, you mean?
So, what are you saying about these like traditional?
Well, no, like the government party does not care about any of the social policies, and the Republican Party doesn't care about any of these social policies anymore. They're just they have no agenda of their own anymore. They're just pretty
much... Would you agree that they're pretty much hand and foot puppets of corporate interests?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the Republican voting base recognizes this. This is why they're so disenfranchised. That's why the Tea Party spawned and people just didn't vote.
So they think that corporate interest is less of an evil than bigger me.
Going from I don't necessarily believe with this, but this is how a libertarian would argue it. It's like it's not free market, it's corporatism. That's how what they would say. They'd say the special concessions from that big government gives to certain companies, like they quote Monsanto in this, and the FDA creates artificial monopolies and is against actual free market competition.
See, to me, then I would be doing everything I could not to vote for those assholes.
Yeah, I know. That's why Trump is so popular, because he's not seen to be part of those assholes.
I don't see how he's not, though, because he says, as soon as my cabinet's in, I'm getting the smartest guys on Wall Street. They're going to be my advisors. I'm going to say, Don, you just take care of Japan. Ricky, you take care of China. You won't have to worry about it from then on. It's over. Boom. That's his foreign policy in a nutshell. That is what he says in his speeches.
He does say these things, and it's hard to defend that point because don't need to laugh at me, Jordan.
I'm just laughing at the thing of just going like,
Well, no, but like, I'm sure he says something. I haven't personally. I know that he said, "I'm going to get the smartest people." I haven't really heard the rest of.
But he does say that these people reside in Wall Street.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. But so, we don't really know about their character or whether they will have conflicts of interest, however, and favour certain companies.
I would imagine they
if you
would,
say Wall Street, wouldn't Wall it suggest...
Well, yes, yes. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people in Wall Street, though. I'm not...
Yeah, but that would suggest, like, a corporate interest, right? Like that.
I would say that they have, like, a Reaganomics growth ideal.
Yep.
But like that wouldn't necessarily mean that they support any form of cronyism. They could be ideologically against cronyism as well.
I really don't think they would be.
I think this is a little bit ridiculous to have this conversation because now we're just speculating on individual characters, even though we don't know who they are.
Come on,
huh?
You can tell what kind of culture that is.
I admit there is certainly culture, but like I cannot blanketly say that they all support cronyism. Like, I don't.
Come on, like really? What? After the global financial collapse,
mm-hmm.
who was taken to jail? No one, despite the fact that they pretty much found out that virtually anyone that was part of a big bank was guilty in the higher echelons.
Have you seen The Big Short?
The Big Short?
Yeah.
Oh no, I haven't. Isn't
it's good?
Robbie, was that helping my point, or was it?
No,
yeah, he's
no.
on your side. Yeah, do you know what? He's on your side.
My alliance I broke is just working against me. No.
What's going on, Robbie?
My auxiliary faction has just turned against the main army now.
I'm sorry. Ben, I'm purely bringing up, hey, it's a great piece of art. That's all I'm saying. The point might not be so right, but you know what I mean? Good movie.
Good movie.
Sorry, Dale. What? Yeah. What? You just got people coming in. Anyway, great film. See it, Big Short. Okay. Jordan, what were you saying? Sorry.
Something about cronyism. Okay. Right. So why do you think that Donald Trump would be able to handle the economy better than any of the other candidates?
In regards to... say Bernie or Hillary, or within regards to other Republican Party members?
I'd imagine in general.
Oh, in general. I got his tax plan here. His tax plan is actually very, very light. It's very underdeveloped, I would have to admit. I'll go to the reasons why I like Trump personally. I'm just explaining why the voter base likes him so much at the moment.
Right. Okay.
His tax plan at the moment is to split it into four brackets, where effectively 50% of the population doesn't pay tax at all. He's lowering capital gains tax to 15% to 20%. 20%. For a business and 15% for personal, I think. I need to check that again. That might be a bit wrong, but there's 15% and 20% bracket, which makes...
And how is he going to cover it?
Beg your pardon?
How is he going to cover the lost revenue?
Well, it will incentivize... The idea, the theory behind it, incentivize companies to reinstate their headquarters in America and stop corporate... and disincentivize corporate inversion.
Right. And the other thing that he's doing... is he wants to put, I think, from memory, a 35% tariff on Chinese imports.
I don't think you can do that anyway, because
exactly.
there's going to be such like a strong legal process. But he hasn't... I don't know. I'm not necessarily against protectionism.
Neither am I. Unlike tariffs, but...
Yeah.
They
can't do it. They've signed they've signed so many things against putting tariffs on.
It is impossible to do it. It is both illegal, and on top of that, even if it was legal, that just means that China would put tariffs on their imports as well.
Yeah.
And that would be, far more of an effect on America than it would be on China.
So, what do you reckon about these things? How there'll be some stuff that makes heaps of sense, and then there'll be one thing which just seems ridiculous and like impossible to do. And there seems to be like a few of those things with Trump.
I love it, but like the wall, for instance.
Yeah, like how do you respond to that? Like,
more than feasible to do.
More than feasible.
Oh, absolutely. He doesn't even need to get the Mexican government to pay for it. He just needs to tax remittance by, like, say, 30%, and he pays for it within 3 years.
Never heard of that before, but
as I said, no major news publication will publish. It's like, it is actually feasible. Still hate Trump though, but it is feasible though.
They were saying that it is feasible, but is it even useful to begin with?
Oh, building a wall. You can't, I mean,
first of all, like, you can dig under a wall. You can make little holes in the wall. You'd still have to pay for
it's going to be a Trump branded wall, though. He's also
his answer to why he can build a wall as well is, I built some beautiful towers over the world. I can build the best wall.
Well,
how is building a wall that is like
building walls has been historically quite effective in keeping unwanted people out.
Has it? The Great Wall of China didn't really do that. Like, it was just Mongols just went along anyway. Like, through parts where they were still building it, and they were going, wait, just come back in 200 years when we're done.
What about Hastings Wall in England?
Hastings Wall was effective while the Roman Empire was able to militarily defend it. You can't just put up a wall and people go, oh, it's too hard, you'd have to build a ladder. And
I think one of the he's also going to expand the immigration customs enforcement by 3 times to 15,000 employees, and broader protection is still there.
I don't understand the expense in his mind behind this. Like, it's first of all extremely damaging to America's economy to do this.
Well, why is that though?
Because if you get rid of that workforce, that disables huge amounts of labor that would take out.
You mean,
I think about 7 or 8 million jobs out of the US that would just disappear overnight in Trump's fantasy world. You can't jobs out of the workforce.
Well, I think the theory behind it is those jobs would just go to native citizens then.
But there's still, okay, so there's 5 million that need a job. First of all, they're not going to take those jobs because they're extremely difficult jobs that nobody wants to be paid crap wages for. And on top of that,
well, yeah, but think about it though. If they have to, if they can't find a workforce to do it, then they'll have to raise the wages to incentivize people to work. Correct?
Yeah. If they don't get people like illegal immigrants to come and take those jobs,
okay, that
means you have to police people
if we
to
could,
not come
if we
about.
Could get rid of this this cheap workforce, then companies will have to pay people decent wages.
Or they could just make things so abysmal and say, like, look, the job's there, you can take it, and then they'll just, you know, they'd just replace that with the same.
Then they wouldn't
wages.
Be making any profit off that by, like, having this standoff agreement with the workforce and the consumer. They want to make companies usually just want to make profits. If they can make a profit off giving their workers more because they have to make the profit, then they will do it.
Yeah, but that's what.
I don't think you can.
No, but what I'm saying is,
I think it just in terms of economics, though, pure economics, that makes complete sense. If ideally we could get rid of this cheap workforce, then companies will still make a profit off higher wages. They just have no other opportunity.
That would be the case. But first of all, it's impossible to get rid of these people anyway. It's complete fantasy that you can extradite. I think we're talking about 30 million people.
No. It's speculated up to 30 million. It's probably more around 11 to 15 million.
Which is reasonable.
Still a large amount. Some law has to be passed to get rid of, to accelerate due process to actually feasibly get rid of them.
I really rejected this idea that you could feasibly get rid of 15 million people out of an economy and it's just going to be fine overnight. Maybe after a while, these wages might rise a little bit here and there, but still, there would just be another underclass that is paid slightly more because he doesn't believe in a minimum wage.
If we assume it is completely unfeasible, it's still going to... The rate of this underclass is still going to grow unless immigration is controlled.
Yeah.
So that would further to make this underclass even bigger and even drive down wages even more.
Don't you think that an easier way to control and police this underclass would be to make it
the minimum wage higher in America and just make it so the government has the resources to track down people that are using illegal aliens.
I think that would be completely a good strategy as well. I think that prevention would be the best course of action against it by just enforcing the borders, because the way it's working at the moment, it's an absolute joke. You can get into America so easily. You've all seen how...
Robbie's been there.
Thank you. Thanks, Robbie. The cavalry has turned back around and now he's going full force.
Figured out who the enemy is.
Yes.
The war trumpet of Robbie, the meme sound that you hear in very poorly produced rap songs.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
I'm so sorry.
I had a single tear coming down straight back into his own infantry. I was like, maybe there's a chance.
You're saying
it's the horns of Gondor.
What's Bernie Sanders? Is that his policy?
His policy is amnesty. And do you know you like Bernie more than me?
Well, yeah, there's the part of just making those citizens, just like how the Roman Empire, after 200 years of subjugation, realized it's much better to make everyone a Roman citizen, because then it makes them more productive. They can legally, at that point, apply for business loans and things. And again, the Mexicans are extremely hardworking people. If you're going to sit out there picking tomatoes all day for 2 cents an hour or whatever they get paid, surely you'd want to make them native citizens of the US.
Well,
they're the ones that are going to be working hard and pushing the economy forward, as opposed to these lazy white people that just sit there being like, taking my job, and I don't want to get educated enough to get another one.
All right, that's a little bit of a grotesque caricature. keep in mind, it's actually, it's actually African-Americans who are horribly affected by this. There's been a plethora of studies to show that African Americans are disproportionately affected with employment opportunities because of it. So it's not these white.
Well, just replace the white hick accent with a black accent. Well, you're too scared to do it.
Yes, so you can't do that. But that's how the liberals get away with this, because hate for the this white underclass is socially acceptable for some reason, even though I think any form of poverty should be.
Don't take this away from us. This is the last bastion we have as comedians to make fun of. You can't get.
Well,
I think
it's unfair because they're suffering as well. I'm out liberaling you at this moment. The Trump supporter is out liberaling you. This is it's amazing.
Just make fun of all of them.
Yeah, I'm a very confused man.
My point. But even if that is true, you'd still have this de facto and even incentivized policy of an open border. If you were just offering amnesty, wouldn't that just incentivize more people to come over to America? And then by that point, you just have all of South America in Northern America. Do you think the economy can sustain naturalizing that many citizens? They still are all competing for the same low-income jobs.
For an economy, this is, as an environmentalist, I don't agree with this, but economically,
yes,
you need a continual motivated workforce churning into your country, don't you? Otherwise, it becomes stagnant, like the problem they have in Japan at the moment, where the population just ages.
That is true, but also it's like a balance between monetary rates as well. Like, you need constant money coming into your stream, but then you'll have hyperinflation if you have a beyond the open optimal amount.
Yeah, and I think that Bernie Sanders also agrees that you do need to have border protection, border control. Well, yeah,
unfortunately, that's not reflected in his rhetoric or his policies.
It is, though. Nobody in Washington disagrees that you need to have border protection.
Well, then this is like an obvious. Then.
He is enforcing it. This is the misconception that everybody has at the moment. Americans spend hundreds of billions of dollars a year enforcing these borders. It's not this thing of we're going to build a wall like the same technology they had in China
in
2,000 years ago. I think it's going to work now.
You can have the rhetoric. You can criticize how the message is said, but I think there has to be an active measure to prevent it. And I think not removing due process, but editing due process to a degree to disincentivize people from coming over is a legitimate strategy in preventing it.
Okay, so now we really don't have much time, unfortunately, but So we've done foreign policy. We've done economics.
What about Syria or something?
I think you'd both agree with me. I support his like kind of pragmatism. Like just we'll let Putin deal with it. Don't go in yourselves.
But what I do disagree with is that he seems to change his opinion on the subject every fucking week.
He does, but I think it's stable that he's just not outwardly antagonistic to Putin, though. He's never been like, fuck Putin, or like, unlike Hillary, whose like mission statement is, I'm going to stand up to Putin. I've done it before. No, I don't know. Where was she basing that off anyway? Like, where is she like actively like stand up to Putin?
Especially when they've got footage of her giving gifts to the foreign minister of Russia, yeah, like hugging him and stuff. Yeah,
Putin would just doesn't seem on to be a very personal hard basis. Putin would just destroy her by looking at her differently. Like,
okay, let's keep this serious. Yeah,
where do you stand on? Where do you stand? So, like, what would be your order of preference? Like, would you go like Trump first, then second, third, three? Like, what would the order
Trump and then Trump and like I'll commit suicide. No, I actually, although I'm critical of Bernie, I like Bernie for, you know, ideologically the same reasons why I like Donald Trump. He's just so out of the main established party line, which I think is good.
What about?
I am quite skeptical of his. I think that a single payer system is fantastic, and every country should have that. It's just whether America can afford it at the moment.
Why can't they afford it?
Well, they're in a lot of debt, Jordan. That's a problem.
Yeah, now, it's cheaper good to put in a single debt payer system.
That is good,
system.
But it is over a long course of time. Except, I don't think it's $6 trillion cheaper over 10 years. And a lot of economists have been incredibly skeptical.
Yeah, but these economists are quite establishment figures. The ones that are really criticizing it that I hear of, that are prominent names, are all ones that worked for the Clinton administration. So of course they're going to say it. Then you've also got a bunch of right-wingers that just disagree with government intervention in Medicare at all.
Jordan, would you admit that it's speculative, though?
I don't even think it is speculative, because at the moment, they're spending 18% of 18% of their economy. Fine.
Yeah.
Huge difference. 17. It actually is a huge difference. It is a massive difference. It's huge.
We're talking about
big
a large.
Big whoop. Like, a few hundred billion. Anyway, the point is that 17% of their economy is spent on medical procedures and medical insurance at the moment.
Mm. Repealing Obama.
Grossly inefficient.
But that is because of Obamacare.
That
as
is
well.
Not because of Obamacare. That is because of private investing. That is purely because that there is no public option to say, okay, so medical procedures cost this much. It's just them quoting the government and saying, yeah, I think like a crutch costs $6,000, and then the government has to pay for it because they don't have a system in place in themselves.
Mm.
That's crony capitalism at its worst. Yeah, it's just quite, privatizing it's the Medicare system.
Okay.
Mm.
Do you have a good response to that, or has he won that?
Has he won that? Oh no! Well, like I'm arguing, I do admit that a single payer system is better. It is completely better. It's just whether America can afford it at this time is the main contention to the issue.
Fair point. Oh well, sorry.
Are we wrapping this up?
Well, no.
I
was just going to sort of. So we've covered a few things. I was just going to open up one more question, and then we're going to have a decision as to who wins, and then we'll wrap it up. So basically,
who do we make? Who
do I get like a handicap because I'm arguing from a very specific?
No, I think I think it's a good one. So basically, the libel laws, as well as something that wasn't brought up. Apparently, Donald Trump is going to open those up so that whoever writes a negative hit piece about him will open up the libel laws so we can sue them. Is that sorry. Who's that? Me. Far out. Sorry.
Jesus, Ron Robbie.
Yeah. Oh man, it's my mum. She's in New Zealand. He goes, I would open up the libel laws so we can sue them and win lots of money. Not like now, these guys are totally protected. Now that I'm assuming that's to do with free speech or something like that, right? What's up with that?
I've I've glanced over this. As I said, Trump says a lot of things. He has no consistent...
You're doing the Bible thing.
Huh?
You're picking and choosing.
No. I'm saying that, like, what kind of politics he represents is draconianism. Like, he doesn't have a consistent ideology. He just looks at people's sentiment and he wants to, like, fester that folk culture. It's this very... Andrew Jackson is the guy it's based off. So he has no consistent ideology that he draws all his proposed things from. He's just effectively espousing sentiment. So when we're looking at his policies, we have to kind of actually look at things he's written down as opposed to said. That's why I'm only analyzing his five positions, because he, as you said quite rightly, he seems to change his position, except you can there's the only thing that's consistent throughout it is this sentiment, this like America, fuck yeah, we're a nation again kind of sentiment.
He's more
it.
Of an auteur.
Exactly. So that's his political strategy. So it's hard. I'm not sidestepping the question. I'm just saying, explaining why I don't analyze everything he says seriously. I'm like, oh, could it work? Because if I did that, I'd have to spend a lot of time to actually do it. And secondly, I don't think he actually necessarily means it at all.
Okay.
So fair this point. Is something that's virtually a policy of his that. If he had a different position on it, I would support him even over Hillary Clinton, because you can just tell she's insane.
Oh, yeah.
She's got the glaze of a crazy human being.
I think we can all agree Trump over Hillary, right? Or
well, this is what I'm saying. Yeah. If he had a different policy on climate change, but his policy is it doesn't exist.
Yeah, no,
like, that is outrageous.
I don't think I can. I don't even believe that. So, like, I can't really convince you over to my point.
Believe it?
No, either. I do believe in climate change. I'm sorry. I'm saying that. I'm gonna step that to the side. I'm like, you know, he says things. He says it. Yeah, he has his own little beliefs.
But how can you put that man in power, especially at this point? Well, 2020 is the cutoff year. He'll be in office then.
Oh, well, Hillary wants to bring emissions down by 10%. That's not nearly enough, is it?
That's far better.
Well, it's 10% better. I don't agree. It is 10% better than exists. Trump. But, like, it's...
I think we should get rid of all environmental regulations. He's always talking about how he wants to cut the EPA entirely.
Mm.
Well, there's going to be no environmental protection policies.
I'm going to let you have that. Have that little battle, all right?
Shouldn't that swing you, though, quite a bit? In that, why isn't that more of a, you know, an important point? Like, why do people seem to look at, like, environmental issues or climate change as being just one of many problems? Like, shouldn't that be one of the most drastic
ones? It should be incredibly pertinent, but I just don't think there's any other serious candidates that are going to address it to its correct degree.
Bernie Sanders is calling for a moratorium on coal exploration. He's calling for he part of his infrastructure program to kickstart the economy, which we know works from past examples, from past history examples. This has been the only economic foundation that actually works, is that when the government spends money, the economy flounders the economy thrives as a result of that, especially when you invest it in things that you need to continue the economy going, such as an infrastructure.
His plan for renewable energies, right?
Then on top of that, he's also calling for an emissions trading cap.
Yeah. So is Hillary as well.
Yeah, but this is a serious candidate that actually is actually legitimately a man for the times. Donald Trump is not a man for the times. I would say
he's timeless, actually.
Actually, that's true. Yeah.
He's kind of like... he's like a Napoleonic historic being, in my opinion.
He's omniscient. That's a really good point. I do agree with that. He's
Bernie, the thing is, like, we can argue whether Bernie Sanders' policies could work. I believe feasibly, yes, they could work. Whether they could work with the American culture, whether the American people would be comfortable with that drastic shift in culture is another problem. And also, there's a huge problem of... the Lavers curve. I mean, like, we could... I think it is completely feasible that a lot of people would just pick up and move overseas, or at least corporate inversion. And corporate inversion is quite hard to enforce because there is a lot of loopholes. I think like a lot of companies are going to shift their revenue overseas.
And that is the conservative argument to everything, that they're just going to shift their profits overseas.
Oh, I think it is a problem though.
But conservative governments always make it extremely easy for companies to move and shift their profits overseas. They loosen regulation.
I'm not defending conservatives because I'm not a conservative. I think that's why people are also disenfranchised with the Republican Party, because they seem to give favors to all these big organizations, which people are outwardly against.
And now on top of this, for a workforce, right? Mm. When you're talking about access to a workforce, America's is pretty much second to none in terms of their skills and resources that just aren't available in other countries, right?
Can I just get to another point quite quick? Sorry, I'll let you finish your point.
But okay. So the thing is, especially when the rest of the world is taking climate change extremely seriously at this point, apart from us and the US, that's pretty much it. And America under Obama, has taken climate change seriously. It's just that the Supreme Court blocks him at every path. But there is no way for them to really escape to in the developed world that will allow them to continue to act in an unresponsible environmental manner. There would definitely be some environmental restrictions on all of them, unless they went to developing nations, but then they don't have access to the resources that they need as a global corporation. You have to.
Okay, I'm sorry. We've got to get out of here. Oh. So I will stop this and say closing statement from Ben in regards to his support, and closing statement from Jordan, and then I'll say who won, and and then we'll go. So, Ben?
There's a superficial reasons to like and dislike Trump. The superficial reasons to like and dislike Trump. I think we have to kind of look past those superficial reasons and analyze his policies. And I think his immigration policy is actually a very good policy and something that should be seriously considered without the stigma of the unfortunateness that is kind of racialist and stuff like that. I think we can move a little bit past that. While it is plausible his policies could work, Bernie is no longer a really viable candidate. The superdelegates would never actually elect him in. So it's de facto between Hillary and Donald Trump at the moment. So it's whether who do you want at the moment. Is it Trump or Hillary? And I'm hoping to, show the Bernie supporters that Trump isn't that bad and just come on over here and we'll make America great again.
Interesting. Jordan?
Okay, again, when Donald Trump got up and said to an audience of 20,000 people, "I've got the biggest vocabulary, I know the best words." Do you really want that man
again,
head of the free world? That is a level of judgment character that has to be addressed. Somebody who says, "I know the best words" when talking about vocabulary, that cannot be an intelligent human being.
Okay, he's got you there, Ben, unfortunately. Although
he just removed my first statement and that superficial reasons to like and dislike.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we've got. Thank you very much, Ben, for coming in. Really appreciate it.
But yeah,
thank you for listening to the 50th episode of the Fairly Shorties podcast.
Yeah, this was really great. Thanks, Ben. We need to do more of these things. So if you like this kind of stuff,
hit that that like.
Comment saying more serious shit, please.
And then, I wonder how many hate comments I'll get. Like, this guy doesn't know shit.
Not many.
I reckon it was actually like a really well-weighted debate, and it was good.
Thanks for Ben being here. Thanks for Jordan.
No worries. I always am anyway.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thanks.
And Carolyn is here as well. She's from Pedestrian.
Thank you very much for your input on the Aziz debate.
And goodbye.
Oh, play us out, Robbie.
And the answer to this week's Who Am I is... No.